Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I know a lot of you know that I had COVID a few weeks ago, and I was in the hospital for a week. It was rough. But I got to tell you, I think that it could have been worse, but I've been working really hard on becoming a healthier, better version of myself. And I think that's what entrepreneurs are constantly trying to do, is to become a better version of themselves constantly. And you have to. You have to. In a crazy COVID world, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. So, yeah, I had COVID. It was rough. I got to tell you, it was really rough. But because I was probably, I don't know, maybe 8 weeks into this kind of new lifestyle, trying to be a healthier person, eating better, taking vitamins, doing little workouts, trying everything. I think that I made it through this COVID thing a lot easier than it could have been. So I'm back and I'm feeling actually quite good. But so my office, I have an office full of people that are constantly, you know, we're getting these pitches from people to be on our radio show, Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Radio. A lot of folks are wanting to be on the show to tell their stories. And it's like, man, we have to filter through these things. It's incredible, the stories and the people and all these wonderful businesses. But my team goes, Alan, you got to have Whoop on. I'm like, what is Whoop? What is a Whoop? It's W-H-O-O-P. What is a Whoop? And I'm like, and they're like, no, it's like a Fitbit thing, but it's only better. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking into Fit. And they're like, no, you got to do this. So guess who's on right now? It's the founder and CEO of Whoop. Again, WHOOP.com on the web, Will Ahmed. Will, thank you for being on the show. And can you tell the world what is a Whoop so that I don't screw it up?
Thanks for having me, Alan. Okay. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Thanks.
So our mission at Whoop is to unlock human performance. In simple terms, we've built a high-performance wearable that measures everything about your body and really acts as a 24/7 life coach. So Whoop tells you when to go to bed, when to wake up, how recovered you are, how much exercise or stress to put on your body. It tells you what behaviors you should keep doing or what behaviors you might want to change. It lets you join teams with other like-minded fitness enthusiasts or people who are trying to improve. And I would say the biggest difference between Whoop and other wearables in the market is that Whoop has proven to be able to change behavior and improve health. So if you've been on Whoop for a year, you've got a lower resting heart rate, you've got higher heart rate variability, and you're getting higher quality sleep. And wow. our origins were really in working with the best athletes in the world. And today we serve many of the best athletes in the world, but everyday consumers as well. So Whoop is really at the intersection of sports and fitness and health.
My friend, I got to tell you, you just described everything I went through from the ER to being in the hospital for a week, and this is a wearable. So I didn't need to go through all that. I could have just got a Whoop. It's like, that's amazing. That really is amazing. And I'm looking at the things that you've won, 40 under 40, 30 under 30, 40 under 40, most innovative company for wellness, and on and on and on and on. My goodness. This is really amazing. I get why now my team was like, oh, this is it, man. This is it. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah, grateful to be building this technology with this team at this moment in time. I think that health monitoring has the potential to really revolutionize the entire healthcare industry and help people live longer, happier lives.
So I'm looking here. It looks like Whoop has partnerships with the U.S. Army, PGA and LPGA tours, CrossFit, the future of fitness and tech, the intersection of sports, technology, and wellness and healthcare. I go to the Consumer Electronics Show every year and a half ever since they've become the Consumer Electronics Show. I work with them. And to see the technologies coming out and changing, especially in the wearables world, is very interesting, and it's been interesting to watch. But what you have seems like it is like next gen, I don't know, wearable 2.0 or 3.0. We're going to take a break. When we come back, founder and CEO of Whoop, Will Ahmed, is going to talk to us about his entrepreneurial journey and growing an idea in college to a leading fitness tracker and health monitor in this crazy year of 2021. Stay with us. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. You got a boy like him, a man like me, and that's just not the same.
And never mind an SMS. What you need is a sweet caress. Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So, I will say this on the air. When I first started talking to Will Ahmed, who's the founder and CEO of Whoop, WHOOP.com. Check it out and see what it is. It's a wearable fitness tracker, health and fitness thing. I thought he was my age. I thought, you know, I was talking to this guy. He has this real calm, very confident way about him. And I told him, I said, well, I don't know why. I said, how old are you? And he's, you know, like, I don't know, 30-something in his low 30. How old are you, Will, by the way?
31.
31! And when I was talking to you, it's like when you told me that, I thought at first, he's joking. He's my age. I'm going to be 61. He's my age because what you've accomplished here in a very, looks like a, you know, pretty relatively short time is amazing. I mean, all these awards that you've won and all this stuff, you're 31 years old and you sound like you have, I don't know, you have really kind of figured out life. Now, I'm not going to ask you to tell me if you have or not, because the first thing you say is, oh yeah, or no, I haven't, or whatever your answer is. And then it's going to weigh on your shoulders like, oh boy, yeah, I said that on the radio. But let me just give you the compliment on the air. You have an energy about you that is good. And I think people obviously are buying your product because the product is good. You've won all these awards. But the journey where it started, it says you started from an idea in college to the leading fitness tracker and health monitor in 2021. I got to know this story. And it's like, this is the crux of the whole thing. Who is Will Ahmed? How did you, I mean, it's like you did something somewhere along the way that shifted the journey of your life. And it, because I don't think you set out to make this product in life. Something happened, and I'm just curious. Tell us your story. I'd love to hear it.
Well, thank you for the compliment, Don. You know, I think I became an entrepreneur before I knew what an entrepreneur was. I became deeply obsessed with a problem while I was a student at Harvard. I was always into sports and exercise. I was a college athlete, and I was someone who used to overtrain. So, you know, you get fitter and fitter, and then you kind of fall off a cliff and you don't know why. Other athletes would get injured or not really understand sleep or recovery. So this led me to being very interested in how I could measure my own body. And I did a lot of physiology research while I was in school, and I kept going deeper and deeper down a rabbit hole. And by the end of my time at Harvard, I'd read something like 500 medical papers. And that research really became the business plan for Whoop, and I just became so fixated on this idea that there were things that you could measure about your body that could really provide insight, not just into athletic performance, but into overall health. And separately, I think I was always someone, even from a very young age, that was interested in technology and computers. So it seemed inevitable to me that computers were going to go from being on your desk to on your lap to in your pocket to on your body to eventually in your body. And that would, of course, collide with the ability to measure your health. And so I started Whoop my senior year at Harvard, and there have been a lot of ups and downs over the course of building the business, for sure. But here we are some 9 years later, and we've built a business that's valued at over $1 billion. And we've got 500 brilliant employees. And we're trying to conquer the world of health monitoring.
I love it, man. I'm just reading here, by the way, while you're talking, and I'm listening, but the impact of Whoop has had a helping. You guys can, I guess, detect early signs of COVID with this. I mean, so it's like you had no idea what you were tapping into, because with entrepreneurs, many times, first you have a problem, then you have an entrepreneur that comes to solve it. And like you said, you didn't know what an entrepreneur was, and all of a sudden you went, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. And now you're enjoying that. And so when we come back, we want you to be the professor. You top 10 in his class. Oh my gosh. He captained the Harvard men's varsity squash team. And I don't even like squash. I mean, it tastes gross. Take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're talking with Will Ahmed. Whoop. I got to still know a little bit more about this. Where do I get one and all that kind of stuff? You're listening to Entrepreneur. We have a wonderful one on the phone right now. Stay with us.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, when my staff come to me with something that I think just almost sounds silly, and I am driven to delight by what I come across in the entrepreneur spirit, which is asking basic, simple questions of a guy who founded a company, young man, right out of college, and now has, you know, a $1 billion company. So the company, again, is Whoop. And it's Whoop, I had to make sure I spelled it right, .com on the web. And Will Ahmed is joining us. He's a founder and CEO of Whoop. So, Will, this is a wearable device, obviously like a wristwatch kind of, right? And so, I mean, the development of it, can you walk us through a little of that? And then I want to get into where do you get one? And just, there's like, I could have you on for a whole hour, but I don't, it's like, you know, this is such an interesting story, but just give us that part of it. So you decide you're going to do this. Did you go to the Consumer Electronics Show and try and source people that made these wearable things, or give us that for a minute?
We developed all of the technology from scratch.
Wow.
A good way to think about what Whoop does as a sensor is it effectively replaces an electrocardiogram, which is like a very expensive medical equipment you can find in a hospital. It replaces a PSG, which is your sort of your gold standard sleep monitor, and it replaces a heart rate monitor chest strap, which is sort of the formerly best heart rate monitor for exercise. So Whoop essentially combines that technology into a very small form factor and then is able to give you feedback on sleep and recovery and stress. And it's really the most accurate product on the market. And we also sell it as a subscription. So you don't actually buy the hardware. The hardware comes for free with the subscription.
Yeah.
And you can sign up for as little as $30. And then it's really up to Whoop to convince you that you should keep paying for it every day, every week, every month.
Right.
We're constantly adding new features. And we think of health monitoring as an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time thing.
No.
You know, your health needs today may be different than they were 6 months ago or a year ago. And so we as a company and as a service really need to evolve with you. And
my
so that's
God.
Where our business model comes from. And it's all direct to consumer. So,
God.
You know, you can go to whoop.com. You can sign up. If you don't like it, you can cancel.
What is Whoop? Tell me the name. Where did that come from?
Well, Whoop literally is a word that means a cry of excitement or energy. For me, it was a word that my friends and I used to say when I was in college to kind of express how fired up you were about something. You know, people were like, oh, you know, how you feeling? Oh, I got Whoop. You know, so it was this fun word
That's awesome.
Frankly, is hard to forget and makes people smile, which is a pretty good starting point for a brand.
Yeah, it's like the military with hooyah, you know, or some of them say hooah. But I love it. I love it. I just, this is so amazing to me, because not only did you have to develop software and hardware, and you had a business plan and how you were going to take it to market, and you know, I mean, you're growing up. You probably had girls on your mind. I don't know where that fit into the whole thing, but whatever. You know, it's like you're so young and you've done so much. It's like it's very admirable to have gotten this far at such a young age. But and listen, I mean, some people make clothing, right? All right, that's, you know, it's clothing, right? You're making a literally something that is like sounds like a hospital in a can, you know, or in a I guess, is it a wearable like a wristwatch? Because I've not even seen it.
It's a very small sensor that effectively lives within material, so okay. You can swap in and out all sorts of bands.
Oh my gosh!
It's designed to be very lightweight, very easy to wear.
I got to tell you, I'm signing up. I want you to know that. I got two and a half minutes with you. I am signing up because you have literally describe to me what I'm looking for. I'm doing blood tests. I just signed up with a deal to where I said, I want to get a blood test. I want you to explain it to me. You know what I mean? So here's what I got to do. I like to do this at the very end of our segment here. Can you give me three things you would have loved to have told yourself as a young man starting out?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to one thing that I've been saying to myself every day, which is keep going. Right. You know, I think that's so much of it as an entrepreneur, is you just have to keep taking one step in front of the other. And most businesses fail for one of two reasons. Either the founders quit or they run out of cash.
Right.
So if neither of those things happen, and it said differently, you're going to end up being a success. And a lot of our success at Whoop has been from real persistence and I think a deep conviction in our original vision. You know, the paper that I wrote in 2011 was the feedback tool measuring intensity, recovery, and sleep, which today are really the three main pillars of Whoop 10 years later. So we've stayed very true to a very early vision. Now, getting there has been a bit of a zig and zag, but we always knew what we wanted to create, and we stayed very committed to it.
I think it's
really a lesson in keep going and try to get a little better every day along the way.
I love that. I absolutely loved it. I remember when Google came out, and I thought to myself, what the hell's a Google? You know what? I'm not going to make this mistake twice. I am all over you, brother. Whoop.com. Join me, because I'm going to sign up. I'm going to go online and sign up today. Will Ahmed, God bless you, man. I love this. Thank you for being on with us.
Thanks, Alan.
Talk to you soon.
Hey, brother, do you still believe in one another? Hey.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, guys, I got a special guest, one of my buddies, one of the guys that works with us at Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Media. Let me just give you a little bit of the down low on David. David Meltzer, he is the co-founder of Sports One Marketing and formerly served as the CEO of the renowned Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment Agency, which was the inspiration for the movie Jerry Maguire, one of my favorite movies. His life's mission is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. The simple yet powerful mission has led him on an incredible journey to provide one thing, value, in all his content and communication, and that's exactly what you'll receive. He is a 3-time international best-selling author, a top 100 business coach, and executive producer of Entrepreneur's number one digital business show, Elevator Pitch. If you haven't seen it, make sure you do. And he's a host of also a top entrepreneur broadcast, The Playbook. His new book, Game Time Decision Making, was number one new release, and Dave has been recognized by Variety Magazine as their Sports Humanitarian of the Year and awarded the Ellis Island Medal of Honor. Joining us right now, my buddy, my pal, Dave Meltzer. Hi, Dave.
I think that's most important. I am your buddy and your pal, and so great to hear your voice. I hope you're happy and healthy as everyone else.
You know what? I got to say, I love your wife. I love her attitude. You have rubbed off on her, or maybe she has rubbed off on you. And watching Facebook, how it's just fun. We can see each, in kind of a window into each other's lives during these perilous times. And keeping a great attitude is so important. And that's why I thought, you know, I mean, you've done so much for so many. And, you know, just that little bit I read there, that was probably, I could kept reading for this whole segment. But I want to get your viewpoint on entrepreneurs and how we should be thinking right now during this this crazy time with the coronavirus thing going on.
Absolutely. We should think in two ways, one stability and one opportunity. So the key to being an entrepreneur is staying in business. So the first thing we need to do is guarantee that we're going to be in business tomorrow. So we have to look at two things, cash and culture. So make sure that you have enough cash, or you're going to create enough cash to stay in business for tomorrow, and then stick and build your culture through personal experiential giving and receiving value. Stability is so important. People ask me, how do you find, you know, that stability? Well, one, mentorship. Obviously, there's people out there like myself that have lived 93, 97, 2001, and 2008, and we paid a lot of dummy tax.
Right.
A lot of dummy tax that you can save by simply asking someone that may have been here before, and uncertain times when they're compressed and accelerated with all the fear, anxiety, and ego-based emotions that are out there. You need to stabilize your environment. Then you can stabilize other people by who has the most potential aligned with your capabilities. How do we find out, though, what capabilities to utilize to stabilize? Here's what I do, and it's a simple trick. I go to the stock market. I don't invest in the stock market. I think it's a waste of time and emotion, because I'd rather focus my time and emotion in making money and then save the money that I make, because that energy is better used there. But listen to me. If you look at the top 50 performing stocks right now, top 50%, and you look at the capabilities of those companies and then see how synergistic and your capabilities are, or how supplementary your capabilities are to those companies, you will find things that allow you to either stabilize or things to make money and create opportunity. Two, beyond that, if you look at even the most 50 stable companies in the stock market, once again, comparing your capabilities to theirs, synergistic and supplementary, you can actually find how they have stabilized and where they have stabilized their economies. And then finally, most importantly, look at the ones that have been crushed. If you look at the top 50 companies that have been crushed, you can find capabilities for the future where opportunities may lie. Now, the last piece of advice in this overview for me in mentorship is really simple. What I like to do is look at the industry that I'm most interested or most capable in. And what I do is I seek out a mentor for one quick question. Let me know when this is oversold, whatever it may be. And then that's when I buy. And then I just ask a second request. Can you call me when it's overbought again? Because the easiest and best way to make money as an entrepreneur is to buy things that are oversold and sell them when they're overbought. And if you're consistently making that margin, you don't have to worry about anything. And why do you have to relearn or pay the dummy tax yourself? There's been people, if you're a real estate person in a certain area, go find the guy that's been there successfully for 40 years and simply ask him, tell me when this commercial properties or residential properties or whatever you're looking at is oversold, and buy. And then wait and ask them when they're overbought. These are really simple things. As well as in the marketplace right now, if you're looking to stabilize your economy, I have people on the internet, they're finding arbitrage everywhere. There's people that are desperate to sell things and people that are still asking to buy them. And there's an arbitrage there to create stability. And I think it also creates future opportunity.
It's so interesting, as I'm listening to you, I feel kind of guilty, and maybe let's analyze this together for a second. I've seen a whole bunch of real estate deals that I'm looking at going, man, I'll bet that guy's open for an offer right about now. And I kind of feel, you know, a little dark and evil about thinking to myself, well, I've got money. I want to spend it on something. I think maybe your property might be good. You know, I mean, am I evil for thinking that way? Or is it just now is an opportunity for entrepreneurs?
Look, here's an opportunity. Look, guilt is an ego-based emotion, just like anger, frustration, and anxiety. You know, you're doing somebody a favor. If they're willing to sell, you might be saving their family from a variety of other things. You may be saving other businesses and other properties because they were able to liquidate so quickly. You may have been saving them from just the bank making the money. right?
Right.
So why is your perspective one of guilt? Because we have in our condition to not be worthy of what we received. Everybody, listen to me. We are helping one another by putting our money in motion. Money doesn't disappear, but it slows down. What we want to do is let's speed back up the money so more people can get in the way of it. Mm. Right? When it stops, nobody can get in the way of it. Right. Let's create that flow of money. So get rid of the guilt, get rid of the receiving issues and the worthiness issues, and let's go out there. And it's okay. I'd rather Alan Taylor make money than Bank of America.
Exactly.
I promise.
All right, hold tight. I'm playing this song, and it's apropos. I need to get some more of you into my life, Dave Meltzer. Oh, man. I wish we were a little closer. I love this advice. You know, I think maybe I'm turning into a snowflake or something here. I'm feeling guilty for wanting to invest. I don't know. I don't know what to do. We'll take a little break. David Meltzer's with us. You can find him at sportsonemarketing.com. Sports1Marketing.com. The man is an animal. We're going to come back and get more of him in just a minute. And give you some more of him in your life. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Hey, this is Entrepreneur Weekly. Don't forget, Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere, also on the web. If you're an entrepreneur or a wantrepreneur, you want to be an entrepreneur, now's a good time to do it. Boy, take the jump. Maybe you're laid off and you got a little time. Get that business going. The government may even help you. David Meltzer joining us. You can find him. By the way, if you go to entrepreneur.com, look up Elevator Pitch. It's kind of a Shark Tank kind of show, but killing it out there, by the way. Three-time international best-selling author. Game time decision making, and it is game time decision making right now, David Meltzer. Just looking for some advice again on being an entrepreneur or some of these folks that right now are at home. Maybe it's time to actually get that business going that they've been thinking about. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think exactly. I have one word to tell everybody, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it's inventory. One of the things when things slow down that we can do is take inventory. And the first thing that we should take inventory on is our values. So what this does, a lot of times we're caught up in the weeds. We don't have time to take inventory of our personal, experiential, giving, and receiving values. But if we can take that inventory, then take inventory on what assets we have, what resources we have, maybe what we have in our closet, what we have in our garage. Looking even emotionally, taking inventory of some of, like I said, these ego-based emotions that may be driving us or excelling us in the wrong trajectory. You know, ego-based emotions like worthiness and guilt and offense and regret and, you know, anger and anxiety and separation, inferiority, superiority. If you can take away one word from this segment, it's inventory. Let's take inventory. Let's take the time to innovate and create. But more importantly, I think, take inventory of your values so that you can have a clear trajectory of not only stabilizing your economy, but taking advantage of these opportunities to grow your economy when everyone else needs you to grow it.
Mm. That is perfect. So here's one. You know, I love talking with Dave, by the way. I think we mentor each other. The teacher is the student. Every time I'm learning something from you, hopefully you learn something from me every now and then. And I mean, these are those relationships that you got to cherish in your life, people, is that mentorship that you get from people that you love, honor, and trust. And Dave, I learned something the other day I want to share with you. And it's the importance of a good spirit, because you have spirit language. I mean, have you ever walked up to a dog and it's shaking and its tail's between its legs and it's like it's looking at you like it's afraid? A lot of us right now look like that. Our spirit of fear is speaking louder than our language. And like people say, hey, man, you okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm okay. You know, it's like baloney. I can read your spirit language, man. You're afraid. You're scared to death right now. So guess what? You got to learn how to calm down. I'll bet Dave Meltzer does some sort of a meditation or something in the mornings just to get yourself set. What do you do lately, Dave? Or for a long time?
Yeah, for a long time, 13 years, since 2008, when I was carrying the wrong energy, that no matter what I said to people, oversold them, back-end sold them, manipulated, lied or cheated, whatever I had to do, I was carrying the wrong energy. And that energy was scarcity and fear. And so what I do is I practice ending fear. And the way that I do that is I meditate first thing in the morning to find my highest frequency, because that becomes a baseline for my day. And that baseline then allows me to, one, identify when I'm not at my highest frequency and feeling the best, and two, ask myself, why don't I feel the way that I felt when I was meditating? Now, those of you that haven't practiced meditation and feel resistant to it, I was one of those people. I continue to practice it, but it could be just find something you love to do. You know, if you like to swim, if you like to walk, if you like to read the paper, you know, or the internet, whatever, but find positive things so that the beginning of your day is your first action, because everything's a reaction from there. And then the reaction should be what I call stop, drop, and roll. My mom always told me, you catch on fire, you stop, drop, and roll. Well, what happens is when we are in that accelerated fear, when we're in that ego-based emotion of anxiety, when we have compressed time into quick change so that people feel anxious, and we have a collective belief of anxiety, what you got to do is realize that your mind, your body, and your soul are all on fire. So just stop for a second, drop your blood pressure and breathe, and then remind yourself where that higher frequency is, that baseline is, and roll back up there. Like, don't allow everything to continue to accelerate in the wrong trajectory. And when we come out the other side of these challenging times, you end up going, why am I so far away from where I wanted to be, instead of so much further than you thought you would be? It's right. A simple mindset, and it's a simple practice, and we need to find that highest frequency in order to do that.
It's beautiful, man. And I'm telling you what, people, if you don't think other people can see your spirit language and your fear, they can. They may not ever speak up to you and say, hey, man, everything okay? And you wonder, like, why are you asking that? Because your spirit language is talking to their kind of spirit language. Listen, it may sound, you know, hippie-like, but I'll tell you what, this is good advice. We'll take a little break. Got one more segment with David Meltzer, Sports One Marketing. DaveMeltzer.com, MeltzerZer.com, DaveMeltzer.com. You got to read his books, watch him on Entrepreneur, Elevator Pitch. This is a guy that can be your mentor. He is mine. We'll be right back. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, my guest today, David Meltzer, you can find him in so many different ways, but I'll just give you more. How's that? Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. Sports, the number one, and MKTG, like marketing. Sports One MKTG, or just go to at Dave Meltzer. So that's at Sports One Marketing. You can find him online, sportsonemarketing.com or davemeltzer.com. He's one of these guys you want more of in your life. And so I wish I could spend more time with you, Dave. I get to have you on the show every now and then. You're doing such a good job. I am actually happy for you, because I know with the amount of travel that you do, especially last year with your 50th anniversary or your 50th birthday, and you did 50 birthday parties to raise money. I mean, you did, you know, for nonprofit, you did so much. I'm like happy for you. You're with your family. I'm seeing pictures of you like I've never seen. Like, you got this little kind of cherub face, little smile, like, yes, I'm doing nothing. I don't know if it's possible for you to do nothing, but so what are you doing these days while we're all sequestered to our homes?
You know, there's two things that I'm practicing. I had to move into my closet. I moved into a walk-in closet. That's my office.
I love it.
Up there through my bedroom, I have not only my four children home from college and home, but my nieces moved in with me and, of course, my wife and my dog.
Yeah.
So I had to find the quietest place I could. So I have instituted two practices. One is toughness. You know, I've told people if you want to distinguish yourself in a good market, you got to be tough because people get fat and lazy. So I have a mindset of toughness to be as productive, accessible, and gracious as I can. I'm going to have a try me attitude, not a why me attitude. And then the second thing that I'm doing differently, which may surprise people, is telephone. You know, I know everyone's now on to Zoom, and I do a lot, you know, obviously live and all these other things. But the one thing that I'm doing differently that I love is I'm taking inventory of my telephone. And so my contact list, I'm going through, and if I haven't talked to you in the last 10 years, I'm erasing you from my phone and figure you'll call me back if you want. But two, I'm calling people to ask, how can I be of service or of help? I'm letting them know that I'm here. I have paid a lot of dummy tax during times like this. Road to recovery, road to revenue. These are areas that I really know from personal experience. And I'm pounding, like I am not cold calling, but dialing as if I'm smiling and dialing. I'm smiling through struggle by seeing how much good and how much help I can provide. So toughness and telephone. I know it appears that I'm actually spending more time with my family, which I'm really proud of, is I'm actually still spending as much time as I was, and it's just different time. I'm reading books to my son, you know, things I've never done before. So toughness and telephone will get you there, I promise.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm very proud of you, man, and I will tell everybody, he is the nicest human being in the world, but he will also kick your ass. So if you need help.
I got to tell you, like, the new brand, a lot of people are calling me the ferocious Buddha.
You're like the cartoon of that panda bear that was like the karate panda or whatever that thing
was.
Yeah,
Kung Fu Panda. Yeah. Kung Fu Panda. I'm the ferocious Buddha. Watch out.
That's so awesome. And I love that. You know, it's like, here's, and just in closing here, you know, watch everybody, watch your spirit language. And you can have a great spirit language. And also, guess what? When it's time to turn off that sweet, nice spirit language and say, back off, buddy, you can just curl your eyebrows a little bit, and it sends out a message. And Dave's one of those guys, I've seen it a couple of times, when somebody pushes, gets a little too close, he looks at them just right and almost does some sort of a invisible karate move, and they just back up like they got kicked back. So I love that, man. I love how you've mastered your ability to control the environment that you're in, to seize the environment and to stabilize it. That is a rare thing. You are a guy that brings stability into people's lives, and I certainly appreciate it, Dave. You're the best, man.
I love you and appreciate you. Thank you so much.
I'm playing it again. Got to get you into my life. You can find him again, you guys, Sports One Marketing. Use the number one, sportsonemarketing.com. DaveMeltzer.com. Do you hear that? It was like that was meant to be, the little sound there.
It was awesome.
There it is again. DaveMeltzer.com. Watch him on Elevator Pitch. Listen to his entrepreneur podcast, The Playbook. And check out his book, Game Time Decision Making. It's the number one new release out there. He's my friend. He can be yours. I'm Alan Taylor. Dave, thank you, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Take care.
Be safe, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.